Thanks. Love you, man. Oh, that's not going to fit.
Let's put that right there.
Shout out to Morgan for getting me some iced coffee this morning. Thank you. After Steve took the last cup. I'm just giving you a hard time. I mean, you did, but it's okay. I'm just going to share a little bit with you this morning, and then we'll head down to lunch. I'm actually just going to read a story and just talk about it as I'm reading it. So if you guys have a Bible, or if you have a phone, or whatever, if you have like a scroll or maybe a stone tablet, or an actual tablet, you can turn to John chapter 11, verse 17. I'm just going to be reading this story today. But just a quick note. I was thinking as Beth was singing that song and she was talking about it. Man, the Lord blesses us not just for us, but He blesses us so we can be a blessing to the next generation, right? In Chi Alpha, we talk about discipleship a lot. But basically, it's just passing on what's been passed on to you. Whether that be the teachings and the preaching and the sermons, or whether that be the blessings that the Lord has given you, right? There's a really beautiful story in Acts where there's these Gentile widows and these Jewish widows, and Gentile widows weren't getting taken care of, and they're like, hey, we need to do something about this. And so they're like, yeah, you're right. They're not getting taken care of. And so he raises up, right, or the early church raises up these leaders, these Gentile Greek leaders, to take care of those Gentile and Greek widows. Right, in that moment, they were empowered with the blessing that they were given to be a blessing to the people group that only they can minister to. And there's a lot of circles that I will never get into, not because of a barrier, not because of I just don't like these certain types of people. It's just, I just don't click, or I'm just not into baseball, right? I'm playing on a church softball team right now, and I told them that I don't play, but they put me on third base anyways. But there's a lot of places that I'll never go, but you guys will. There's a lot of places that I'll never minister, but you guys have the opportunity to. Amen. And the Lord is saying to you, because you guys know the hurt. You know these people, these friends of yours, these people in your schools or on your teams that are hurting and they're lost and they need a Savior. And I'll never have an opportunity to share Him with them, but you guys will. And so this camp week, yes, the Lord is going to do some great things in your life. Man, I believe the Lord changes lives. I believe the Lord doesn't just make good people better, but He brings dead people to life.
Yes. Come on.
And you guys are not only being brought to life, but you're being sent out to raise other people from death to life. There's some death out there. And the Lord wants to empower you to bring the only source of life, Jesus, to those people. And so the blessing, right, that is being placed on you is going to be a blessing to the generations of the disciples that you will make who will go and do the same. And so, man, be empowered, be encouraged, and have confidence, man, that if the Lord placed something in you, no matter what it is, and it is good, and it has changed your life, man, share that with people. And the guy that had a bunch of, like, demons cast out, I think this is the guy, Jesus immediately said, now go to the Decapolis and tell him what happened. The Decapolis isn't a fancy name for one town. It is 10 cities. Jesus pulled these demons out of this guy, didn't give him a Bible and say, all right, now read this, and then once you trained up, then go. He said, now go and share what I've done for you. Man, that's all you got to do. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to go to seminary. I'm not saying those things aren't bad, you know, right? Those are cool things. Those are good things. But you don't have to wait for some moment. Man, tell people what the Lord has done in your life. Because as we're going to see in this story, that's what's going to bring people to Jesus. I can craft a sermon that will fall on dead ears, or you guys can tell the story of how Jesus saved your life. So I'm just going to get talking. Story of Lazarus. Let's just read it, right? So this is John chapter 11, verse 17. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. I love the Bible. I've fallen in love with it. I used to read like one scripture a year, and now I've read through the Bible a couple times. I've listened to the whole Bible. Man, I love it, right? Not because of the paper or the words, although I do like paper books, like I like a hard book. You know, I like to feel it in my hands. It's weird. And it was about to get weirder. But this in itself isn't life, but in it, it tells a story, and it speaks the words of people that were radically changed by God, right? The red letters, Jesus speaking, change your life. Not because of words written down on paper, but because of who said them. And so, man, I encourage you guys, get in the Word, read the Word. Read it. So, verse 17, John chapter 11. And I gave Jamie my scripture right before I came up here because I forgot about it. But she's awesome, and she's already got it. Okay. So here it is. John chapter 11, verse 17. Jesus and his friends. How many of you guys know that Jesus had friends? Do you guys know that Jesus had friends? You know Jason, yeah? Yeah, Jesus had friends. He had these 12 guys that he traveled around with, and then there's Mary and Martha. There's a bunch of women that get mentioned throughout the Gospels, and then there's just like crowds and crowds of other people that would hang out with him. Jesus had friends, and one of his friends was Lazarus, and him and his 12 friends, we'll call them the disciples or the apostles, 12 apostles, because that's who they were, and he was with them, and he found out that Lazarus was dead, right? And he found out he was sick, and then he found and then by the time they left, he died. And so this is where it starts. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he's dead. If he hasn't died of like something else, he's died of suffocation. He is dead. And probably stinky. You guys see all those deer along the road and on the way up? They blow up and... they're dead, yeah. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Man, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. There are times in my life, and maybe times that you guys experience where you're like, man, God, if you would only have showed up sooner. If you have only would have shown up sooner, Lord. If you would only have shown up sooner. Man, there's been a lot of things that have died in our lives. And over the past couple years, man, I don't know if you guys heard what happened the past couple years, but it's been kind of wild and crazy. And a lot of things have died, and a lot of things have been killed. Some of them, right, have been not so good. Right? There's been things that have that have broken loose and things that have died and structures that have come down and things that have been rebuilt that have been good, but there's things that have died, man, like community or identity or courage. Man, I work on a college campus, and every generation of students that come through, you see what they dealt with, because you got to figure it out if you're going to be able to minister to them. And there has been courage that have died. There's been community that died, identity that has been killed. And not even from things that they've done, but things that have been done to them. And we are like, Lord, could you have come sooner? Or couldn't you have changed this? And I talk with people, and I'm like, God, man, why didn't... Couldn't this have been averted? Couldn't this have been interrupted? Couldn't this have been caught a little sooner? And maybe some of you guys are thinking that, like, Lord, why weren't you there then? Why didn't you come then? What were you doing? Why were you waiting? And I don't know all the answers to that. Wouldn't that be cool if I just was like, and here's why it happened? And I don't know. But I do know that Romans 8:28, he says, the Lord brings all things, or he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And I know that I don't know why he didn't come sooner, right? And the story of Lazarus, if you go up, Jesus said, this is so that glory can be shown, and he gives some reasons, and maybe that's the reason that he's weaving together a beautiful tapestry, right? Corey Ten Boom talks about a beautiful tapestry that the Lord weaves together and shows something beautiful. In the end of our lives, we'll see it and we'll say, oh my gosh, that was so much more beautiful and so much more elaborate and so much more complete than I could ever imagine. And your story is beautiful. No matter if it feels crazy or hectic or crappy at the time, your story is beautiful. Every single one of you. And we'll celebrate who you are and what the Lord has done. But I know that that no matter what happens, no matter when we thought the Lord should show up or when something died or this or that, that the Lord's going to work that together for your good. He doesn't say, I'm going to work it together for my good, which is crazy because but it's for your good. That he has something in the works. He has something in store, and we can put our hope in that. Right? Not some worldly hope. I hope something works out, right? You know? I hope they make a new good Star Wars trilogy again. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? But that might not happen. But there is a hope that we find in Jesus that we know it's going to happen. No matter if we see it now or we see it then, we know that he's going to work all things together for the good of those who love him. So let's keep reading. So verse 22, it says, but I know that even now God will do whatever you ask, right? So Martha's trying to come up with the Christian answer. She's like, Lord, if you would have shown up, but I know you'll do whatever, you know. And Jesus said to her, he says, your brother will rise again. Martha answered. Again, she's trying to come up with the answers that she's been told. Christian answers. She was in Sunday school every morning, you know, practicing at the temple, raising her hand, memorizing scripture. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please memorize scripture. Hide the word in your heart, right? So you can bring it back when you need it. And Martha says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And again, she's like, I know the answer to this. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And so Jesus is asking, or he's telling her, he's like, it's okay, Martha. Your brother's going to live. And she's like, yeah, I know. At the last days, he'll be raised up. We'll all see each other in heaven. It'll be awesome, you know. And thank you, Jesus. That's a great answer. I wish you would have been here sooner. And Jesus says, no, no, no. I am the resurrection and the life. Even though somebody may die, they're going to live. Man, Jesus didn't walk out of the grave 2,000 years ago so you could live in misery for your whole life. Right? He didn't walk out of the grave 2,000 years ago so you can stay in your grave until you finally die. The Lord wants to bring some things to life. He wants to bring some dead things that you thought were dead and beyond saving. He wants to bring those to life. Dreams, hopes, your confidence, the community. Man, he wants to bring some dead things to life. Right? We aren't meant to live this life in a way that promotes misery or promotes half-heartedness or meekerness or mediocrity. Right? John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. He says this right before this chapter. And so he doesn't want you living in the grave until you finally accept it. He wants you to come to life. Not some day, you know, 100 years from now, not some a moment, millennia from now. I believe we will one day see Jesus face to face. But I believe when he said the kingdom is here, the kingdom is here. Yeah. Right? And there's some things that come with that. And that's some resurrection life. Man, he wants to bring you guys to life. Man, I was listening to Justine and Jason and Clint share their stories. I mean, I was more caught up in their stories than in the words they were preaching. And not that it was bad. It was good too, man. They were rocking it. But the stories that they told, man, this Christian life, this God we serve, is real. He's real. It's not just some set of rules, or it's not just some practice, or it's not just some doing this or doing that, but there's a real God that loves you real much. And he wants you to really be brought to life. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, Or when Jesus died, dead people literally got out of the ground and started walking around, right? Go read Matthew chapter 27. This isn't some nice story. If it was just some nice story, it would have died 2,000 years ago when Jesus did. But he got back up. And he's about to do this with Lazarus, and that's a spoiler, but here we go. So, where am I at? Verse 25. Verse 27, sorry. Sweet. Yes, Lord, she replied. Yeah, verse 28. Thank you, Jamie, you're awesome. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. It's a normal thing to do. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, he replied. Jesus wept. You say, okay, all right, I know that he works all things together for the good. I know that he will bring the dead to life. I know that there's resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Does he just do it because there's this great cosmic plan? Does he even care? Does he know that I'm hurting? Man, he knows. And he cares so deeply for you. He cares so deeply for you. Man, don't mistake the timing of God for him not caring. Don't mistake this timing for a lack of care, because he cares so much that he's going to do it in the most perfect way that he possibly could. And the Bible tells us that he is moved by us. He is moved by us. So Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And yeah, I'm just going to keep going. "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. And you guys thought I was getting a little bit too caught up on how dead he was. They're also thinking the same thing. He is really dead. He is smelly. He looks like a deer on the side of the road. And let's just stop for a second. Man, there's some things that we think are too far gone. I'm here to tell you they're not. There isn't anything too dead that he can't bring back to life. Those dead people started walking when he died. They've been dead for a long time. They were in the ground. There are things in your life that you think are too far gone, and maybe you think you're too far gone. But he wants to bring you to life. So anyways, so he says, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here and that they may believe that you sent me." That's funny. Jesus says, "Father, you heard me." I'm not saying this because I don't think that. These people don't think that, but I'm saying it so they know that this that I'm from you, right? It's not you, it's me. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out. Come on. Get out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Take off the grave clothes and let him go. I don't know if it was, I forget who said this, but sometimes you're thinking, you know, you try to, my pastor back home in Huntington, I mean, I was born and raised here, but I live in Huntington, West Virginia, and he's like, "Man, sometimes we read the scripture and we just forget that these are actually real people. And so you got to think, what are these people thinking? I mean, one, a dead guy just come out. And what is Lazarus thinking? He's like, he's covered in like toilet paper walking out like a mummy. And he's like, what the, what was he thinking? And right. I wanted to, so Lisa was preaching on Sunday. And as she was preaching, I was thinking of like Lord of the Rings references, because I'm a huge nerd. I don't know if you guys have figured that out yet, but I was thinking of Lord of the Rings references, and I'm like, she was talking about, I'm not going to say it because it might steal her thunder for her sermon, but I am going to show you the video on Friday because it's just too good. And so I am going to make a Lord of the Rings reference here. I'm playing this game. Again, man, I'm showing how nerdy I am. I'm playing this video game called Shadow of Mordor, and it's really cool. It's this cool, like, ranger, you know, guy in this elf spirit working together to fight orcs and ghouls and trolls. And it's really cool. And I'm leveling up. Anyways. and I got a deal, which I also love good deals. And so I'm playing this game, and this guy, he keeps coming back to life, right? So he keeps dying, he keeps coming back to life. And he's like, what the heck? Why do I keep coming back to life? Right? He's wondering, why? Why am I alive? Why am I coming back to life? Why am I being raised from the dead? And he's starting to figure it out as you play the story, really good. As you play the story, he starts to figure out why he keeps coming back to life, why he's entangled with this spirit that has gone way before him. And he starts to dispel darkness. He starts to free slaves. And he starts to destroy these evil things in this land and hunt beasts that are devouring these people. The reason this guy's alive is because he's a purpose. He doesn't quite know yet, but he knows there's something that he needs to do. The reason Jesus brought Lazarus back from the grave is because there was a purpose. Man, you might be wondering, would you just leave me? Just leave me dead. And they'll say, no, I love you way too much, and I have a purpose and a plan for your life that I'm not going to leave you dead, but I'm going to raise you from the dead, and I'm going to give you a plan and a purpose, and you're not going to understand it all at once, but you're going to continue to know as you take steps further and further into what that is. Man, and sometimes we think, well, Lord, I don't know what my purpose is, so how do I start? I say collectively, the Lord has given us purpose, right? Dispel darkness, preach the gospel, make disciples, and to love the death right out of people. That's where we start. And as we step into the collective general purpose the Lord has laid out for all believers everywhere, he starts to reveal what your particular assignment is. And then the last thing Jesus said in this passage, he said, go take off his grave clothes. And this is where it comes to the theme, right? You're thinking, this is cool, Caleb, but it has nothing to do with friends. Well, this is where it comes to it, right here at the end, is we need friends to help us take off the grave clothes. Because when we accept Jesus or we get healed or delivered, we go from death to life. There are things that try to stick to us from our past that are dead and no longer a part of us. When Lazarus walked out, they said, there's the dead man. And Jesus said, no, take off his clothes and reveal the identity of who he was and who he's going to be and who he will forever be and the purpose and plans that I have set in his life. God doesn't see you as a dead man. God doesn't see you as a dead woman, but he sees you as a child. He sees you as who he created you to be from the beginning of time until the end, and he's going to reveal that to you. Amen. But you're going to need some friends to help you take off the grave clothes. Come on. And so that's my challenge to you is, would you be the friends to help take off each other's grave clothes? Right? The dead things that have stuck to them. The things that they're no longer a part of who they are. Things that no longer have any control, but have tried to cling tightly to them. Would you help remove those so that people can walk out into who they were created to be? Right? Proverbs 27:9. A good friend refreshes the soul. I'm sure Lazarus was refreshed after he had smelly, stinky rags ripped off of him, where the fresh air and the sun could hit his skin. Yeah, I'm sure he was refreshed. All right, there's been some things in my life that have brought death. I want you guys to know this is real. The people that come and stand up here, they don't glow in the dark. They don't live perfect lives. But there have been people in my life that have, that after the Lord has saved me or delivered me from things that I might have been struggling with, that have walked up and said, hold on, let me take that off you. That's not who you are anymore. That's not who you are anymore. And so whether it be today, music is awesome, and I believe it helps create atmosphere for what the Lord can do. But if you just want to find somebody, whether you want to talk about it or whether you just want them to pray for you, tell them, man, I feel like I'm dead and I want to come to life. I feel like I have some grave clothes that are still clinging tight to me. Would you help me take them off? Man, find somebody before you leave this week. And when you go back, start pulling the dead things off of the people that you care about. Start calling people to come from death to life in the spheres and the influence that we'll never have, but you will. And so, Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you that you don't leave us dead. We thank you that you're not just about making us have some good habits or look pretty in front of the press. But God, you're in the business of bringing people back to life. Not so that we can live some mediocre, measly life of misery and struggle. But God, so that we can have life and have it to the full, that we encounter the struggles. Lord, you have created us and empowered us by your Holy Spirit to conquer those things and to overcome. God, would you bring people back to life this morning? And would you take those grave clothes off? God, we love you and we thank you. Lord, bless these people as they go out so that they can bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I told you the preachers are good here this week. All right, well, it is lunchtime.